Well, we will get started. Since I'm already running behind. Sorry, folks, running behind this evening. Basically, because I was just a little slow tonight. But do want to go to the Lord in prayer, and do keep each and every one of your prayers. Continue praying for Sister Donna Faye. And lifting her up, Brother Jerry, his treatments and his test results, which his test result was good. And we praise the Lord for that. Jason and Darren. Wanda Phipps, remember her in your prayers. The McAfee's grandson, Brad Folk, continue praying for him. Sister Dean's sister-in-law, Martha, and brother-in-law, Charles. Rhonda Green. Again, just thank everybody for their prayers for Mariah. Good report there. Kyle Franklin, Brother Bill, and Sister Joanne Bynum. The Robbins, Raquel Campbell. Remember her. Billy Walters. Remember him, Brother Daniel and Sister Diana, Evan, Jim Martin, Serena Garrett, Shawnetta Carr, Mindy Denson, Reverend Carl Chesser, Sister Rose Todd, Sister Mary Real, Sister Marlena, and so remember that, and then also remember. Brother Don Denson, he'd been fighting some pain in his leg. Lynetta did go to the doctor, or got an e-visit with the doctor, and she's on an antibiotic for a bad sinus infection that her headache is just not let up for her. And so she's on a Z-Pak. And then also her uncle passed away. And so we ask you to remember the family in your prayers there. Brother Max, we call him Uncle Mac. He is... definitely with the Lord. Just we know that tonight. Just Brother Charlie, we know this. But anyways, remember them in your prayers and lift each one up there. Father, we thank you tonight for your love. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and for your grace. And we just pray, dear God, that your will would be done in our lives. Lord, touch these needs according to your plan and purpose, dear God. I pray, Father, that you just touch the hearts of those that are heavy, dear God, and grieved, Lord, we pray, touch those tonight, Father, that are sick and afflicted and troubled, precious God. Father, we ask you, Lord, for those that are lost, dear God, that they'd be saved, and those that are backslidden, Father, would come back to you. Ask, dear God, that we would have a closer walk with you, Lord. Father, we all need a closer walk with you, and we need the strength, dear God, that we don't even realize sometimes. And Lord, we pray for our country, Lord, and the needs there. Father, there's so many. But God, we just ask you, Lord, tonight that you just lay your hands of mercy upon us, Lord, each and every one, and give us the strength we need, dear God. Thank you so much again, Father, for your blessings, for your strength through the week. And we'll praise you, Father. We'll thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Thankful tonight to be able to come and be with you in service. I just lost part of what I wanted to do. I'll put that back up here. All right. I'm in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter. And you've heard me talk to folks lately. If you've heard me talk, or we've asked stuff about prayer and stuff, I've been talking about how that I've been praying a lot more of late and just asking God a lot of things and just seeking His will and His guidance in these things. And then the other day, something came about, and I guess for the first time in a long time, I just laid out a fleece before God, and I asked Him. I said, "If this is Your will, Lord, then let this be this way." And so we prayed about it. Me and Ned have both prayed about it. We've been feeling the same pulling in. So we asked the Lord together on this, and so the answer was on that. That one was no. And then we was we continued on down the venture of where we've been looking at, and I guess I can tell folks it's not going to be a secret for long, but we was trying to figure out whether or not we wanted to buy a toy, a side-by-side or a four-wheeler, or a small car to get a little better fuel economy, to be more active at the church and do some things. And we've been praying about that. We sold our boat, and we asked God to help us with that, and it sold to the right person because they gave us, I guess I would say they gave us what we expected we wanted to get. And then we saw another vehicle, and we prayed about it and just asked the Lord to do things in certain ways, and He did it. But I found myself in the situation where I was questioning, you know, God, is this really You? And here I am asking God to do X, Y, and Z. I mean, just everything there. And God done X, Y, and Z, and I still said, okay, Lord, is this You? Well, it is. If you're going to ask God, and here's the deal, the just, the Bible says, should live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But the other side of that is if you're going to seek God, and you're going to ask God for something, and then God puts certain things in your pathway. You know, for me, it was looking at some place I wasn't looking. It was thinking about something different than what I was thinking about. It was just all these little things that fell into place. And then to not have to do any financing cheap enough that we could just pay cash for it. And it felt so good to do all of these things. But in the end, what I'm really driving at is this, is that when you ask God, expect God to answer, and He does, you know, the reason we question it is because we probably haven't been asking God very much and really asking Him for answers or seeking Him in certain ways. And so when He does it, we're almost surprised and scared. And so I want to talk to you tonight just a little bit about that right there. That's what I said. I'm in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7 says, ask, and there's a comma there. That's the one part of the verse, that first word. It's an action. We need to ask. And here's the deal. We need to ask God. We ask a lot of people a lot of things, and we follow a lot of advice, and the Bible tells us that there's much wisdom in the hoary head, which is the person who has gray hair. And if they've been seeking God and following God, then you know you've got a person that you can really trust in, and you've got somebody who's you can lean on there. I think about my wife's grandparents because they're some of the most godly people I know, and have so much faith in just the short time that I was around Grandpa Ferguson. And Grandma Ferguson, and hearing the testimonies of their lives and what they did and how they lived just meant so much to me. And then to see Grandma and Grandpa Roller and just, you know, how they were, and Grandma and Grandpa Weens and how they were. And then even thinking about the families that go down there, because you watch the generation that comes from the heads there and how they come down. And so much faith right there in those folks, and it just kept trickling down, and then it gets to a generation that begins to really not focus on God the same as what the other generations did. And I'm afraid that even though I'm older, that maybe that part of that generation that didn't focus, and I'll say for fact tonight, I didn't focus on God when I was younger. I just kept living life and doing things people told me to do. But as I've gotten older, and as life circumstances seem to change, and then you start seeing the realities, you start understanding the absolute necessity of not just a relationship, but a deep relationship with God. One that is grounded and found in the Scripture, and one that can't be beat upon. When I say that, in other words, nobody can convince you that it's not going to be right to follow God and follow the Scriptures. Because a lot of times people will tell you something that's contrary to the Scripture, or even not contrary, but it's not really the will of God. And so we don't seek that, you know. So we seek a lot of evidence. We ask a lot of people things, but we don't necessarily ask God. And so in that, my prayers, I don't know how long it's been going on now for this, but for a while now, it's just been constant prayer and a lot of praying when I'm on the job, when I'm at home even. I wake up in the mornings, I think about things, and it seems like God puts a song on my heart and stuff. And this last week, I woke up every morning and all through the day, the song, and Mariah sung it on Sunday, but My God is Faithful. And I've been thinking about that. You know, it started even before that, but this thinking, My God is faithful. My God is so faithful. And He wouldn't have told me in His Word to ask if He did not plan on answering. And so He says, ask and it shall be given you. A lot of times we take that second part of that and we say, okay, God, You're going to give me whatever I want. That's not necessarily true. Because see, something else that I figured out as we're going through this, and I say, I've always talked about it, I've always known it, but I really am seeing the evidence of it in my life, and in Lynetta's life, and what we're doing there, is that it says, but seek, and if you back up to the sixth chapter, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. God has a plan to add to you, but if you read the previous verses there, God's going to supply your needs. And the Bible actually says that God said that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And we know that He's got far more than we do. So when we ask God, what we're really doing in the right relationship is asking God His will, asking God His plan, asking God His purpose. And then when we know that there's something that God would have us to do, remember the Bible tells us that God does not call the equipped, but equips the call. In other words, you don't have to have it all in order for God to use you. You just have to be willing to give all of you to God to be used. And so, you know, asking it shall be given you. And so when I'm seeking God and I'm seeking the answers of God and the directions of God, God's going to give that to me. Matter of fact, if I'm seeking something God doesn't want me to have, God's going to give me the answer to that. And I know this because, you know, the temptation to do things that we want to do, sometimes even comfortable in doing them, in other words, there's no sin in it, is not always the right thing to do, because when you stop and you ask God about it, He gives you a clear answer, a clear direction. And then the next word is seek. And, you know, that right there is a word that I've used several times, excuse me, because of the application that we find of it in the book of Hebrews. And I've been using this a lot lately, but it's because we really don't think about these things, I don't think, often enough. And when we get to the point to where we're thinking about these things consistently and constantly, we'll begin to view God in a different light. In other words, He won't just be the God that we serve and we go to church about, but He's the God that indwells our lives. In other words, He's got more meaning than we do. And in that, we begin to seek God more consistently and constantly, and we begin to ask God things in a different manner, in a different way. It's just like what I was saying, you know. We've been looking for a long time, wanting a toy, wanting a side-by-side or a four-wheeler. And boy, I tell you, I can come up with all kinds of good reasons to have one, too. I mean, tell you, shoot a deer and you got to drag it out of the woods. And I shared this with you. Netta shot her deer and it fell right where it was. And we were blessed. We was on some land, Brother Mike's, Sister Tanya's, but they had a way to get it there. But if we had to get it ourselves, all we had to do is drive the truck up the little road that was cut out. It was right there. I mean, God says, you know, I can provide in every way, not just some ways, but in every ways. And so we start seeking God and asking God different things, different way. And when I say different way, in other words, the way that the heart that desires God is. versus the one that wants God to do something and give you something, you know, special. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Look at the word there. Rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So He says, seek and you shall find. What are we going to find? We're going to find the answer that God has for us. We're going to find the way that God has laid out for us. I can think back whenever I was, before me and Lynetta met. And I was telling my boss at the time, Miss Neva Hannah, she asked me, you know, what is it I was looking for in a girl, or what did I think God wanted me to have in one way? And I said, well, she's going to have to be 5'6", she's going to have to be blue eyes, blonde hair, you know, that 5'6", 5'8" range, blue eyes, blonde hair, 120 pounds or so. And Neva looked at me and she goes, is that God's description, or is that your description, you know? And I said, well, you know, it just kind of hem-haw around there a little bit, but that's exactly who I met. And here's the deal. In meeting Lynetta, she brought me and introduced me into the family that was in the ministry. And from there, being in the ministry was I knew where God wanted me to be, but had I not met her, had I not followed God in loving her and doing those following those steps, where would I be today? And people say, well, if God wants you there, He's going to make you go there. God allows us to make choices. That's why He said, ask. You know, let's ask. And then He said, seek. So, you know, we need to seek. And so as we do that, we're finding out God's way and God's will. And when we do that together as a husband and wife, or as a church, or as members of a family, when we do that together, we'll really begin to see the desires that God wants to do in our lives and with our lives and with the group that we're part of in the aspect of church and so forth. But we don't do that a lot of times. Instead, we just try to formulate a plan and we try to go on. But He said, ask, shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now remember this, in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and whosoever openeth unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. He has a desire for us, and He's knocking on our heart's door for us to accept Him. But He's asking us also to knock. Realize this, knocking is checking. Okay? Not every door that you knock on is going to be opened all the time. But if it's the right door, God says, knock and it shall be open. We go to the right door. And remember, if we've asked and we've sought, we're going to go to the right door. And I'll say this tonight. I've heard people say, well, when God shuts the door, look for a window. No. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. He's the entrance. He's the door. And whoever comes in another way is a thief. We're not trying to sneak in the windows. We want to walk through the door. And so Jesus is that door. And so when I looked at these things here, and just think about it, in verse 8 he says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God wants to do for us good things. The rest of this passage there, and then talking about that, talks about how that if a dad loves his son or his children, and you know he's going to give them the things that they need. And he says, you know, God loves us more. You know, so if God loves us more, do we not think that God's going to give us good things? God's going to give us right things? Well, He actually is. But it comes down to the point of our behavior. And I would say this, our behavior in whether or not we truly love the Lord or are we just pretending. I pretended a long time. I played church a long time. And I'll tell you what, it got me... I guess you might say it got me through a time there where people didn't bother me too bad or nothing like that. But there come a day when my faith really started being challenged. My salvation started being challenged. Not in that people were saying, oh, I don't think you're saved. But rather that God was saying, Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? What's the basis of your salvation? And my basis up until that time was always because what somebody else told me, what somebody else did. And it came to that point where I realized that I was lost. I was lost. And what did I have to do? I had to ask God. And I asked God, and He heard me, and He received me. He gave me salvation. I sought God. See, I went up that morning that I prayed. I went up there and I prayed with Brother Roy Woodard. But when it was all said and done, Brother Roy had said the prayer. I had listened to his praying. I turned around. I went and I knelt down at the front pew. And there I asked God into my heart. I asked Jesus Christ to come save my soul and change my life. And He did. And by the way, it's a wonderful thing to think about being changed in that way. I wasn't perfect, but I sure was better than what I was. And I've continued to grow, being more and more what God would have me to be. And so now I'm learning how it is to knock. You know, knock. God, is this the right door? God, is this where you want me to be? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. When God is putting you someplace and you're asking God these things, just realize that God's doing this work. And so when you knock on that door, God's going to open that right door up. And so, you know, it's like I was saying, I asked God for key things. And every one of those things was met. And in that, then, you begin to wonder. But it's an amazing thing when you think about it. When you seek the Lord and you do His will, you got peace. That's the big, big difference, is peace. There's a few other verses, and I've covered these once before in study. But I wanted to cover them again tonight. And I want you to think about this tonight. And I just looked up the word seek ye. And I did it because, like I said, we need to be seeking God, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Remember, even 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Those are key things there that we find out. And so, Psalms 27:8, when thou seekest my face, my heart, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, God told us to seek Him. Why should we not seek Him? Well, people will tell us, you know, God's not really going to do what you want Him to do, or God's not always going to... Hey, that's the whole point. See, God is God and we're not. So I don't want God to do what I want God to do, because that's not going to be the right thing. But if I seek God for His will and His way, I'll do the right thing, because I'll be following the one who's doing the right thing, right? Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Now think about this. No one of these shall fail, none shall want for her mate, for my mouth hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So when we seek out the book of the Lord, when we seek out the things that God would have us to, we find the answers that God has for us. And just think about this, when He talks to the children of Israel, He was constantly telling them that they needed to seek Him and seek His face and seek His ways and seek His truth. And you can go through there. I think the word seek's found 244 times or something like that in the Scripture. I may be off there a little bit. But anyways, that's what He said. Seek out the book of the Lord. Read this Bible. Remember, Timothy told us to study the Word. And Timothy were told, study the Word to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. When we stop to think about that, we see these things, right? So seek ye out the book of the Lord. Then he says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Remember, God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And when we think about that, we're supposed to call upon Him, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. There's coming a time when God's going to be withdrawn. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to be around in that time. I want to be with God all the time. excuse me. Amos 5:4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. I mean, just think about this tonight, church. In seeking God, what are we doing in living? We're asking God, we're seeking God, we're knocking, we're doing the things that need to be done, right? And in that, we live. And I've said this many times, there's a difference between basically existing in this life and living this life. And we truly live when we're following after God and doing the things that God would have us to do. Not merely existing at that point. I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to be doing what I need to do. And I find that in praying and seeking and asking God, knocking on the doors, God's just really showing me things. And in that, sometimes I guess I'm surprised. And I'm trying not to be surprised by it, but rather be strengthened by it and share with others that same thing. I've done read Matthew 6:33 a couple of times there, and Luke 12:31 re-amplifies Matthew 6:33, but a different way. He says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God; all these things shall be added unto you." It's the same message. It's the same words. It's the same message, same thought. Luke just wrote a different word there, but he did not change it one bit. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. He's telling us the same thing there. And then we go on just a few more here, and I'll be done with you. Maybe that was the last one. That was the last one, because the rest of them, some that I've talked about before, and Jesus asked the question, whom seek ye? And I guess that'd be a good way to close tonight. Who are you seeking? Are you seeking the God that knows everything? That controls everything? That will help you through everything? That gave you a word to guide you? Or are you seeking after a God who will tell you what you want to be told? You know, you can ask anybody anything, and you might get differing answers on it. But if you ask somebody to tell you the absolute truth about something, you may not like the answer on it. So a lot of times we only ask them questions that we want, or we perceive that they have the answers we want. And God has all the right answers. So when we ask God, He's going to give us the right answer. When we seek God, He's going to show us the right thing. When we knock on the door of God, He's going to open to us what's necessary and needful. And so just that thought, and I don't know if I put it down to really lean or explain my thoughts and my things about prayer, but I just know this. The more I pray, the more I trust, the more I see God's revealing answers. And the clearer I see it, I'm not going to tell you that sometimes I don't sit there and fight against it, because you know what? It's like I said, I've been feeling one way about one thing and wanting to do a different way. And God showed me clearly what I needed to do. And the amazing thing is when you do the right thing and you talk to the people who are following God and you ask them questions, it's amazing. You don't even have to tell them what you've been doing. They already have consensus in the answers. And God just works that way, folks. I'm not going to tell you we'll never get any toys. That's up to God, to be honest with you. But my heart's desire in my prayer is for myself to follow God thoroughly and wholly and truly. And for you to follow God thoroughly, wholly, and truly. And then when we do that together, we will be what God would need us to be and use us in this life. So with that tonight, I'm going to close. Just be praying one for another. just got a message from my sister stating that my brother-in-law could really use our prayers tonight. They got the shots this morning, and he's running a fever. They tested positive for COVID, and they went and got the shots that are supposed to help you with that. But anyways, do be praying for him. We add them to our prayers. My sister Darlene and her husband Scott, they've got COVID and stuff. But lift them up, if you would, in prayer too. And so, but lift one another up. For sure, just lift one another up in prayer, and let's seek God and see what it is God would have us to do. And I'll tell you what, if you'll pray for me in Netta, in our church, and if you can come by and visit us, if you just attend on Facebook or see us on Facebook or see us on Sermon Audio, we'd love for you to come by the church, 4001 Armor Avenue. We're there Sunday mornings. Typically, Sunday school starts at 10, worship service around 10:50. And then our afternoon service is at 4. Currently, we're only on live stream on Wednesday nights, praying about that again. And we'll see where God leads us there, but feel pulling towards trying to get back into service. Remember one another. Let's seek the Lord and see what He will do with us, see what He'll do for us. Father, tonight again, we thank You, Lord, for Your love, Your mercy and grace. And we ask You, dear God, help us, Lord, to do Your will. Touch the needs, dear God, again. We ask tonight according to Your plan and purpose for every life, every heart, every soul. Dear God, again, we just pray, Lord, that we would truly seek Thee and trust Thee. God, to lean upon You and follow You, Lord. And dear God, I pray, Father, now, Lord, just let Thy will be done in every life. In every life accepting Your will, we'll pray, Father, and we'll give You glory, Father, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. I plan to see you again at the next appointed time.